This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Cincinnati Fringe Festival celebrates its 12th anniversary this year and runs May 26th through June 6th. Produced by No Theater of Cincinnati, the festival offers more than 200 performances of 40-plus productions and offers you the opportunity to experience artists who are willing to take risks and push the boundaries of what's considered the norm. Here to preview this year's Cincinnati Fringe Festival are No Theater Producing Artistic Director Andrew Hungerford and Chris Wesselman, Associate Fringe Producer. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Chris and Andrew, good to see you this afternoon.
Thanks so much for having
us. Thank you very much, sir.
So, Andrew, Fringe Festival's got international origins?
That's right.
What are those?
Yeah, so the whole concept of the Fringe Festival started in Edinburgh decades ago at this point. Edinburgh has always been kind of a festival city, and they had their giant international festival, which highlighted artists and was by invitation. And at the time when the Fringe started, there were a bunch of artists who felt like, hey, we should get into this festival, and then they didn't. So they decided to start their own on the fringe of the international festival and start their own performances, which were around the city. And some of those artists in the early days of the Fringe included people that we now know, like Tom Stoppard, who are established in the theatrical canon. And it's at the point now where the Edinburgh Fringe is actually larger than the International Festival. The Edinburgh Fringe is the largest arts festival in the world.
And like you're saying, fringe because it was on the fringe of the other festival.
Yeah, it was on the fringes. And it was work that was so experimental or so far out of the mainstream that the official organizers of the International Festival didn't grant it the same credibility as the other work. But now it's really fascinating to watch how work from the fringes starts to take over the mainstream and become really the driving force in world theater culture.
And Chris, how did the Cincinnati Fringe Festival get its start?
Back in 2003, Jason Bruffy was a company member at Cincinnati Shakespeare, and as part of their studio series, he decided that Cincinnati deserved its own Fringe Festival. So they started the Cincinnati Fringe as part of Cincinnati Shakespeare's studio company. And then when Jason moved over to No Theater to become the producing artistic director there, he brought Fringe with him. And ever since, it has been as part of No Theater as Over the Rhine itself.
Well, so, how much has it grown in its 12 years?
A lot. I think the first year was actually a 17-day festival, I believe. Mm. Now we're down to 12. But there is at least twice as many performances, artists, attendees.
We pack a lot into those 12 days. it's funny, my actual first experience with No Theater before I started working there was as a Fringe artist. I did a show in the 2005 Cincy Fringe. We actually performed it in the stairwell at No Theater.
So a lot of unique venues.
Yes, that's right.
Oh, so many unique venues. It's definitely the opportunity. Fringe is the time of year where whatever space could conceivably become a theater during Fringe, it's probably been a venue during Fringe.
This year we have a playground that's a venue for one show. So the playground at SCPA.
Yeah. And most of this is taking place inside Over the Rhine, is that correct?
That's right. Correct. All of it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, Andrew, how do you describe the Fringe Festival to someone who's never seen the Fringe Festival before?
It is 12 days of every kind of art you could imagine. It encompasses theater, dance, puppetry, solo performance, comedy. We have magic this year. It's every kind of performance art that you can imagine, really intensely packed into a 12-day period. And then we also have a visual art component to our Fringe as well. Every year, one side of No Theater's building is repainted by the mural artists at Higher Level Art, and that mural project goes on over the course of the whole festival. So festival goers can come watch that mural in progress over the course of the 12 days.
So what's the mural going to be this time around, Ed?
It is a closely guarded secret.
That's right.
It's secret. You can't tell me.
Can't tell you a thing about it, but as always, the guys at Higher Level Art are going to do a bang-up job.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's everything they do is really exciting, and it's also really cool to watch how they approach the work each time, because they always kick it off a little differently. Sometimes they repaint everything first. Sometimes they start in small ways. It's a really cool part of the festival.
So, Chris, exactly how many performances, how many productions, how many different venues are involved in this whole thing?
This year it is 181 performances from 45 different productions over 18 different individual locations or venues in Over the Rhine, which is, those are all records for us. So
how in the world do you go about preparing for something like this?
It takes a lot of time. This is something that we plan and prepare for the entire year. Once Fringe is over, it's pretty much time to start preparing for next year's Fringe. So a lot of this has been in the works for a long time. But we are now kind of approaching our crunch time because we've got venue load-ins this weekend. So all of our tech guys are ready to go.
And it's something that we, so it's something that we're always kind of background processing over the course of our main stage season. So we, even while we're doing shows on our main stage and doing our second stage work, we've always got these check-ins about Fringe all year round to make sure that everything's on track to get to the next festival.
Well, what are some of the challenges that you face in putting this together, Andrew?
One of the big challenges is, in fact, finding all the venues we need. And this is something that's been really interesting to watch as the neighborhood has evolved over the last decade. It used to be really easy for us to find some empty storefronts and performance spaces that were relatively close to the theater on Vine Street or Main Street. And as more and more businesses move in, spaces get harder and harder to arrange.
Yeah.
But that said, we have some fantastic businesses who've been partnering with us for years that we keep going back to, and they're really great places. And this year, we're actually going back to Gabriel's Corner as a venue, which is was originally No Theater's first performance space in Over the Rhine before we moved to our new space at 1120 Jackson. So it's kind of nice to feel like we're going home a little bit.
So what's the newest space?
The newest space this year is NAST Community United Methodist Church. Over the past couple of years, we've actually established some really wonderful relationships with a couple of churches in Over the Rhine, NAST Community being our newest one. And then last year, going into this year, First Lutheran Church on Ray Street has also been opened their doors to us pretty much to have some venues inside there. And they're both really just wonderful spaces.
And it's really great. One of the things that we love about the festival is the sense of community that we're able to generate, both with the businesses who partner with us, the people who open up their establishments to become venues for us, and with just the flood of patrons that come down to Over the Rhine. And you'll see them in their T-shirts walking from venue to venue, and the various pass holders with their lanyards during the 12 days of the festival, like in between all up and down Vine Street on Main Street and then around to Coffee Emporium on Central Parkway. You will see hundreds of people with lanyards with artists and staff and pass holder identifiers on them.
Any idea how many people end up attending the Fringe Festival?
Our ticket sales last year, I'm gonna estimate this number.
High, I think 8,771 was last
year. That number sounds remarkably precise, Chris. I'm really impressed by that. But yeah, so we are slow, and we've been improving our attendance every year, so we're slowly creeping up towards 10,000, which would be a magical number to hit.
Exciting.
That would be great. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation about the Cincinnati Fringe Festival. And Andrew, what are some of the examples of productions that I can see? What kinds of things can I see at this?
It's always a challenge to pick out specific things because we don't like to show
preference
to one particular, but we can.
And I will
tell
vouch
you
for you that you're not showing preference.
It's just
my question.
So, well, one of the unique shows that we have this year is Cody Clark, which is this magic show, and I mentioned because it's different from some of the other things we were doing. What's the full title on it, Chris?
Cody Clark, A Different Way of Thinking.
And it's a show that talks about being on the autism spectrum through magic. And that sounds just like such a fascinating show to me and something that's unlike other submissions we've gotten in the past.
Absolutely.
Chris, do you want to throw out?
We have a record 5 international groups visiting us this year from Japan, Canada, 2 from the UK, and then 1 from South Africa. It's a couple who's finishing up their master's at Ohio State right now. And they have a show that I will not do them the disservice of incorrectly pronouncing the first part of their title. But the subtitle is A New African Folktale. And it's a really, really interesting show that I think is going to kind of give some people a very unique perspective on what life in South Africa is like. And that's a group that it just happened to work out that they were going to be in town during that time. So I think that's going to be a really cool show that they kind of involve the audience in. Yeah. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
One of the other things that we do as part of the festival, which I get really excited about, is we do the Fringe Development Series, which allows artists to who don't yet have fully formed work to workshop it and work with other Fringe artists to develop their piece over the course of the festival. And so that allows them to get this other input from associated artists and then do one performance of it over the course of the festival to see how it lands for an audience and then go on to develop it further. So one of the shows in this year's festival, called Dog Show, was actually a Fringe development piece last year, and it is about dogs who, when their master leaves, perform French farce to amuse themselves.
And I've always wondered what my dogs did when I was away from
home. Exactly. And so we love the idea that works can be developed with our festival and then go on to have larger lives elsewhere. And one of our main stage shows this season, our summer musical, actually started as a Fringe development piece a couple years ago.
Now, is Fringe Next related to Fringe development?
No, not really. I mean, they started at the same time, but what Fringe Next does is it primarily gives an opportunity for high school aged artists to essentially have the Fringe experience themselves. We basically provide the challenge to these high school artists to say, hey, you get to write, direct, act, produce everything it takes to put on a Fringe show. We're giving you the opportunity to do that. And we're heading into our fifth year of Fringe Next, and every year we're kind of blown away by the quality of work and the themes that these kids want to explore through theater. And it's really impressive, and it's really delightful to know that we're giving them this unique opportunity. We're giving the artists of tomorrow this unique opportunity to just essentially be thrown into the mix of Fringe and see what they can do with it.
Fringe is such an exciting, concentrated period of a lot of art happening at once. It's so great to get these high school artists in to be a part of that culture and that excitement of everything that happens in the festival and just watch them developing their own work and then seeing where that might take them next.
So there's a lot of good local talent, I take it.
There is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, this year especially is we always try and keep a healthy balance of local shows and out of town shows. Past couple of years, that's kind of tilted in the direction of out of towners. But this year, I think we had more local submissions than we ever have before, and by a lot of groups that aren't necessarily that are kind of new to the Fringe Festival a little bit. So,
and one of the other things we really love is it gives a lot of local groups a chance to all come together and play and to cross-pollinate amongst their groups with their artists. And it results in some really exciting work.
It's a Fringe Fest. Are any of the performances not suitable for children? Do you let people know that ahead of time?
Yeah, they're... Fringe is a wonderful time for everyone to experience all sorts of different things. And there are definitely shows that are not recommended for families.
This year in the Fringe Guide, which came out in City Beat last week, and on our guide online, we have ratings of the shows. So we're essentially doing movie ratings for them, but PG through NC-17.
I think R was the
R is the highest rating we have. But so that'll give people a little guideline to see if it's appropriate for their families. And then we also, in our ratings, note what those ratings mean to us. So if you have particularly precocious 12-year-olds, maybe the PG-13 is okay for them.
What happens at the end of the day, Andrew, when all the productions have finished up? Because there's more that goes on, right?
That's right. We every night we have the Fringe Bar Series, which is a chance for all the artists to come together and sort of celebrate the day, which we sum up in the Channel Fringe hard-hitting action news. This year, our slogan is "All Fringe Considered," where we
NPR might take issue with you.
Oh no!
Or maybe they'll be flattered by it.
that's the hope. So where our goal is to sum up everything that's happened over the course of the day, tell people what shows have sold out, what's opening next, what's closing, what they have only a limited time to grab onto, and then we also have a series of events as part of the Fringe series or Fringe Bar series. So the entertainment continues. We have the Fringe Olympics. We have the classic Fringioki, which is basically karaoke, but with interpretive dance, generally. And then we also have, we're doing Fringe Toberfest, where we'll have beers from some local breweries. We're also doing a Throwback Thursday, which encourages people to come dressed as their favorite decade. And then we have our annual Fringe Prom, which has a different theme. And our theme this year is
Cowboys and Indie Bands. We're a Fringe favorite of ours, Kevin Thornton, has a new band called Indiana Queen. And they're going to be coming up and rocking out during Fringe Prom this year. And people are encouraged to hipsterfy some Western attire and have a good time dancing till the night is over.
So, Chris, is there a typical day at the Fringe Festival?
Yeah. I mean, we have our, typical day for staff, for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, on weekdays, shows don't start till 6:30, and on weekends, shows start as early as 1. So on weekdays, it's usually, it starts off light,
Yeah, there's a calm before the storm.
There is a calm.
As we all kind of roll in and we get done with our office work for the day, and then the madness begins around 5 for us.
5 o'clock, yeah. But there's a lot, we always have a huge volunteer staff for mm-hmm. the festival. Over 200 people volunteer, and my gosh, we could not do this festival without them.
That's right.
And they are some of the hardest working folks during the course of the festival, running from venue to venue, helping us out with stuff. It's pretty amazing.
Well, Andrew and Chris, thanks for joining us this afternoon. No Theater Producing Artistic Director Andrew Hungerford and Chris Wesselman, Associate Fringe Festival Producer.